Father God, you are not silent. You have spoken and you have given us your complete word. And so we thank you, Lord, for these ancient words that we'll be looking at this morning, ancient words that are relevant today. The words that we'll be looking at are well-loved words, known words. Oh God, may they truly apply to us. May we truly be your sheep, understanding our sin and misery, and also knowing that our shepherd laid down his life for us. So teach us, O God, to be thankful. Teach us to look to you in gratitude, with humility. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, Happy New Year. We're looking at Psalm 23 this morning. So if you have your Bible, you can take your Bible and open to Psalm 23. If you don't have a Bible, there's probably one in the rack in front of you. You might even have memorized Psalm 23. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. That's what the Pew Bibles are, and many of you have the New King James Bible as your main Bible. It's the one that I normally preach from, New King James Version. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So why Psalm 23 on this first day and first Sunday of 2023? One reason is that this is the pattern that we've been following since 2012. Every new year begins with its corresponding psalm. So, of course, in 2012, it was Psalm 12. 2013, it was Psalm 13, and so on. And even if that seems a little boxy, the Word of God is relevant no matter when it's preached or where it's heard. And so there is relevance for us from Psalm 23. So that's one reason. Another reason for preaching Psalm 23 is its connection to our Shepherd King who loves us. And that was the theme that came up in our studies through Advent leading up to Christmas. Micah's Old Testament prophecy, which was quoted at Jesus' birth in Matthew, says, "Out of Bethlehem shall come a ruler who will shepherd his people." And you remember the king at that time was Herod. Herod did not shepherd the people. Herod lorded over the people. He called himself Herod the Great. But Jesus, who is born the King of the Jews, has come as a different king than they'd ever known, one who would shepherd his people. In John 10:11, there's a repetition of this same theme of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, and it's going to be our text tonight. We're staying with that theme throughout the day. So this morning, Psalm 23. This evening, John 10. In John 10, verse 11, Yahweh, or the Lord, or Jesus, says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Hebrews also repeats this, where it says, Jesus, where it calls Jesus the great shepherd of the sheep. And 1 Peter calls him the chief shepherd. So who else would Psalm 23 be about than Jesus? And who else would we preach about but Jesus? So that's the second reason. This is a psalm about Jesus. A third reason for preaching Psalm 23 this morning is that we celebrate communion. And as you come to the end of Psalm 23, there's that little section that tells us our shepherd prepares a table before us, a meal to sit down and enjoy fellowship with him, a meal that nourishes us. And it's happening even though we are surrounded by enemies, by our enemies. And church, we know this. Our enemies are all around. But our shepherd gives us a gift. And that gift is this table. One that He prepares for us. We enjoy fellowship with one another, and especially with our Lord Jesus Christ. We commune with Him. So those are three reasons for preaching from Psalm 23 this morning. Its relevance as the new year begins. It's about Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, our shepherd, prepares a table before us. This morning we're going to look at Psalm 23 using these three simple points. Number one, our need of a shepherd. Our need of a shepherd. Number two, what the shepherd does. And number three, the extent of the shepherd's care. Our need of a shepherd, what the shepherd does, and the extent of the shepherd's care. We start with our need of a shepherd. We are sheep. I'm sure that if we took a poll before we talked about the theme this morning and said, what animal would you like to be? If you could choose an animal that you would like to be, what would it be? Maybe somebody would say, I'd love to be a lion, or I'd love to be an eagle. You know, something like that. I think very rarely would we think, I'd like to be a sheep. But we know this in truth. We know this by experience. We are sheep. We're following something. We're following somebody. And Psalm 23 begins with, the Lord is my shepherd. And lots of people know this psalm because we know our weakness. We know our frailty. We know deep down that we are sheep. So lots of people know this psalm. Lots of people love this psalm. Lots of people can quote this psalm. And many do when they're in trouble. Maybe you've been in a difficult place and all you can think of is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and so on. Many do in trouble, many do in sickness, many do on their deathbed. Often Psalm 23 is read at funerals. But there's a sad reality, and that reality is that many people have no real understanding of the Lord as their shepherd. They like the comfort, but they don't know the Savior. They like the poetry, and it's comforting to them. But it's not much more than that. It's just verse rather than Yahweh, the Lord. That's the translation of the Lord. It's His name. It's His covenant name. Yahweh is my shepherd. We could say Jesus is my shepherd. So we start here with, we are sheep. This is our need of a shepherd. I have a children's book here, and it's based on Psalm 23. It's called Sammy and His Shepherd, Seeing Jesus in Psalm 23. I didn't see any in the bookstore. I don't know if there are any, but I'm sure Andy can order it for you if you are interested. Sammy and His Shepherd. And the opening chapter presents two contrasting sheep. One sheep is cared for. He has a good shepherd. And the other, who has a terrible shepherd, he's been shown no love. Sammy is the name of the sheep. He's been given a name by his shepherd. He's cared for. He's clean. The other sheep, by contrast, has no name. The other sheep is covered with dirt. He's hungry. He's surrounded by flies. You get the picture, right? You understand what this book is about. But there is a happy ending for that other no-name sheep, because that poor sheep with no name is befriended by Sammy, and Sammy introduces him to his shepherd, and he comes into Sammy's fold and under the care of the good shepherd. And the good shepherd ends up giving him a name. Spoiler alert, his name becomes Precious. And these are wonderful pictures for us. The good shepherd gives us the name. He calls us precious. We are precious in His sight. It's a cute story, but don't forget the point. The point is, we are all sheep and we are all in need of a shepherd. Don't be like those who know the psalm but don't know the shepherd, don't know Jesus. To really claim this psalm requires faith in Jesus Christ. Again, this theme is not limited to Psalm 23, but it's repeated in the New Testament in John 10, 27 and 28. The good shepherd, Yahweh or Jesus, describes his sheep. And this is what it says in John 10, 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Two characteristics of the sheep. They hear his voice, and they follow him. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They are known by the shepherd, and I give them eternal life. They shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Right? Echoes of Psalm 23 and John 10. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Followers of Jesus know the voice of the shepherd. We are his sheep. We know him. He knows us. Do you know Jesus? Do you know the good shepherd? The table that is set before us today is prepared for those who are in God's flock. It is a closed table to anyone who is an unbeliever. But to those who believe, it is prepared for our nourishment, our strengthening. It's a day of celebration. The shepherd calls us to eat and drink. The shepherd calls us to proclaim that we truly belong to the one who has laid his life down for us, the shepherd who has laid his life down for the sheep. Look again at Psalm 23. The first phrase is, the Lord is my shepherd. And I'm going to show you another book. This is called A Sheep Remembers by David Calhoun. And he does a really good job of commenting on the psalm. But he also weaves in sayings from other people that have commented on Psalm 23. He also weaves in his testimony. Makes it an easy book to read with a lot of insight into Psalm 23. And in this book, he writes a few paragraphs on each word of that first phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. So again, the Lord is actually one word, and it's Yahweh. It's the covenant name of God. It's much different when you call someone my boss than when you call them by name, whatever the boss's name may be, or students that grew up calling me Mr. Hopper when I was a teacher. I see them now, and they're 40 years old, and they're still calling me Mr. Hopper. It's a title, right, that they learned. It would be a very different thing if they called me by name, if they called me Billy. We understand that, and so there's a little bit of missing the point when we say, the Lord is my shepherd. It's much more intimate than that, church. Jesus is my shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd. It's more than a title. It's a name. It's His name of faithfulness. Yahweh is my shepherd. Jehovah is my shepherd. Jesus is my shepherd. So he spends some time with the Lord. Then he spends some time with the next word, which is. And that communicates no doubt. It's something that is sure and certain. It's not, he might be my shepherd. He could be my shepherd. Hopefully he's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And it's meant to be a word of confidence. Calhoun in this book writes, David is not asking the Lord to be his shepherd, but confidently and joyfully affirming that Yahweh is his shepherd. Again, notice the table that is set before us. It's meant to help our confidence increase. It's not something we do solely to remember. Yes, we do it in remembrance of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, but it's meant to be a means of grace in which the Spirit assures us that we belong to the great shepherd. So the table that is set before us is meant to remind us that the Lord is our shepherd. There are, of course, times when we doubt. And we need to return to this phrase. There are times when we doubt, but as we grow in faith, as we come to know the Shepherd, the more we come to know that I am not my own, but belong body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. That's the catechism that we read this morning. These are precious words given to us, and they're an echo of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to the one who has freed me from the tyranny of the devil. It's reinforced corporately as we participate in the Lord's Supper, so that we can surely say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do unto me? We say with assurance, the Lord is my shepherd, and we eat the body of Christ. And we say, the Lord is my shepherd, and we drink His blood that was poured out for the remission of sins. We need Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Without Him, we're lost. Without Him, we're doomed. Without Him, we are needy. With Him, we have all that we need. And that's our next point. Point number two, what the shepherd does. What the shepherd does. He provides all that we need. That's what I shall not want means. He provides all that we need. So we say in the New King James and even in the ESV, I shall not want. NIV says, I lack nothing. The Living Bible says, I have everything I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I shall not want. Don't you want things? I think we do. I don't think we're free of desire. Do you want things? Maybe more money? Better relationships? Better skill at work? Healthier body? You know, some of these things might be even your New Year's resolutions. Oh, of course we want these things. And it's good to make New Year's resolutions because it's good to pursue righteousness. And it's good to resolve. Most of us want these things, and they're not necessarily bad. We have desires. We have wants. So it's easy to misunderstand this idea of I shall not want. And so I quoted the Living Bible, I have everything I need. The Living Bible is not a translation, but it was the work of a father to make the Bible more understandable for his children. So he would spend time going from his probably New King James Version. I don't remember. It's been a while since I read the introduction to the Living Bible. But he took those phrases and he made them more understandable for his children. And so that's all it is. It's not a translation. But it does at times help us understand some of the concepts and get them right. The Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd. Jesus is my shepherd. I have everything I need. And the problem, part of the problem is we see money, relationships, better skills, better health. We see those things as needs. But our statement, I have everything I need, is tied to who the shepherd is. The faithfulness of the shepherd. Yahweh is sufficient. You understand this. It's not, well, you know, hey, I work at, I have everything I need. No, this is, you know, I make this much salary. I have everything I need. No, I belong to Jesus. I have everything I need. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, puts it in perspective. He says, all shall work together for good. That sounds like Romans 8:28, doesn't it? All shall work together for good Everything is needful that he sends, that the shepherd sends. Nothing can be needful that he withholds. That's hard to grasp. All shall work together for good. Everything is needful that he sends. Nothing can be needful that he withholds. Lord, increase our faith in the good shepherd. Let us know that we have all we need. Can we correctly discern needs and wants? Can we correctly discern needs and wants? Michael Horton, in his book Ordinary, which was our summer reading maybe 5 or 6 years ago, it's been a little bit. Michael Horton writes this. He says, because people are obsessed with living in the moment, they insist that every moment be a watershed, every meal extraordinary, every friendship epochal, every concert superb, every sunset meta-celestial. Life isn't like that. Think about our generation, church. The culture that we live in. We need everything to be Instagram worthy. Everything has to look perfect. But what about the ordinary days of life? And that's the point of Michael Horton's book. He talks about the ordinary means of grace. You know, it's not meta-celestial. You know, that your New Year's resolution might be, I'm going to read through the New Testament this year. But it's that ordinary, everyday, spending time, developing necessary skills. So not just spiritual skills, but necessary skills of life. In the ordinary times of life, dull times of life, we're developing necessary skills and habits. These things that we learn in the daily dull routines, we can learn what really lasts and what really matters. So God doesn't necessarily give us what we want, but He supplies all of our needs in Christ Jesus. Nothing can be needful that he withholds. Nothing can be needful that he withholds. So there's echoes of Romans 8:28 and what Newton said, all shall work together for good. Dale Ralph Davis also echoes Romans 8 when he comments on Psalm 23. Dr. Davis said this, I shall not want is an echo of Romans 8:32. Romans 8:32, which says, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Our shepherd cares for us, and He gives us all that we need for the ordinary days of life. Look at verses 2 and 3. That's what this is about, the ordinary days of life. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Everyday stuff. The rest that we need from our toil. The provision of food and water. The restoration of our bodies. The Lord provides for the ordinary days of life. Not everything is revealed on a grand scale. But we know this. Day after day, our shepherd has walked with us and fed us and kept us safe. And Alexander McLaren says, those outward blessings are precious. And then he says this, chiefly as emblems of the better spiritual gifts. So yes, there is a physical side that we understand and know. But it's chiefly an emblem of the better spiritual gifts. The image describes, this is McLaren, The image describes the sweet rest of the soul in communion with God, in whom alone the hungry heart finds food that satisfies, and from whom alone the thirsty soul drinks deeply. Are you spiritually hungry? You're in the right place. Spiritually thirsty? You're in the right place. Then as the psalm continues, we find that our shepherd is not only with us in ordinary times, but he's also with us in extraordinary times. He cares for us in a very comforting way in extraordinary times of life. Look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's not an everyday experience. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Notice a few things about verse 4. In one sense, you could say that the shepherd has not led us here into the valley of the shadow of death. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads us to still waters and places of calm and quiet rest. This valley of the shadow of death may be the result of a straying sheep. And you can go to the Gospel of John and see where the shepherd leaves the 99 to find the one who has strayed. So the valley may be a result of straying. Or maybe the sheep are moving from one place of rest to another. And in life, it's like that. So there are hardships caused by our straying, but there are also hardships caused by life in a fallen world. The Bible doesn't say that we are delivered from any trial or test. No, we are free from sin, sin's guilt and sin's stain and sin's consequence for eternity. But we still go through difficulty in this life. So it could be hardships that are caused by our straying or hardships that come from life in a fallen world. But whatever the case may be, our shepherd is with us. There's a song that we learned in Sunday school recently that said this: Jesus said, if I am lost, he will come to me. Are you lost? Have you been having trouble finding your way? Have you strayed from the shepherd? Is this your New Year's resolution? I need to be in fellowship with my Savior. Because here he is again, revealing his tender mercy to you. Won't you come? No one else will be your shield. No one else can satisfy. No one else can be your strength. Do you hear the shepherd's call? Then come to the good shepherd, because his mercy is great, greater than all our sins. And if you come, he's made a promise. If you come to me, I will not send you away. Another thing to notice from verse 4, but you have to go back up and look at verses 1 through 3 first. In verses 1 through 3, it's almost like a kid bragging about his dad. You know, my dad does this, my dad does that. Look at how he brags about his shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. This is what my shepherd does. But when you get to verse 4, and there's an extraordinary time of life, a time that's dark, there's shadows of death, he's not telling you about the shepherd anymore. What is he doing? He's run to the shepherd's side. You are with me. He's not saying, he does this, he does this, he does this. He already said that, but now he's saying, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. He's looking up at his father. He's looking up at the shepherd, and he's looking in his eyes, and he's taken his hand, and he's found security in the presence of his shepherd, and he says, you are with me. There's a Puritan prayer for the year's end that reminds us of our need to look up at the Savior and say, "You are with me." It goes like this, just one phrase from the Puritan prayer. It says, "If you have appointed storms of tribulation, if you have..." Because we're looking at 2023 and what the future holds. "If you have appointed storms of tribulation, you will be with me in them." That's the promise of our Savior. You know, we've done this as children, you know, walking down a dark hallway, and you just want to know that your mom's right there standing by you, right? Or you've been away from family for a time and you just need to hear their voice again, so you call. It's comforting to know that we're not alone. And the same is true for our shepherd. To know that he is with us, that his presence is here with us. How comforting, Christian, to not walk alone. And this is a reminder for us. You are with me. It's an old promise. It was the promise that God gave to Joshua when he was going to conquer the promised land. "I will never leave you or forsake you." It's a promise that David knew. "You are with me." It's a promise that's repeated in the New Testament time and again. In Hebrews 13:5, it's applied to all of us as believers. Hebrews 13:5, he has said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." There are times when we feel abandoned, but do what the psalmist does. Look into the eyes of your shepherd and remember, "You are with me. You are with me." Our Lord has not left us alone. He's provided for us through life. He has prepared a table for us. And it's very similar. It looks like the meal that he provided for his children when they were fleeing Egypt, when he delivered them from slavery. It looks like that meal, the Passover meal. And it looks like the provision made by Jesus Christ at the Last Supper, a table he prepares for his disciples, even as the enemies were plotting to kill Jesus. So the enemies in Egypt, here's the table. The enemies plotting to kill Jesus, here's the table. Christian, what do we have here this morning? A table prepared before us to eat together. The wine, the blood of the Lamb, the bread, the broken body of Jesus Christ. We are surrounded by enemies. We battle the world and all those who stand against Christ. And yet, here we are, a time to feel relief, a time to know our Savior, a time to eat and to get to participate in this gift that God has given to us. He's anointing our head with oil. That's a celebration. He's filling our cup and it's overflowing. It's lavish. This lavish provision made for us is to remind us that our shepherd is with us, that he cares for his flock. The Father gives us the Son. The Son gives us the Spirit to unite our hearts as we take part in this means of grace. It is true what it says in the Psalm, that goodness and mercy follow us. But it's even more emphatic than that. Goodness and mercy pursue us all the days of our lives. What comfort to know that God is with us in the ordinary days of life, and he's with us in the extraordinary days of life. All the times of life, all the days of our life, our God is with us. But is there a limit to that? And the answer comes in the last part of Psalm 23, and it's our final point this morning. Point number three, the extent of the shepherd's care. So first we saw our need of a shepherd, that we are sheep. It's that part of the catechism that says we need to know our sin and our misery. We need to know we are sheep. We need to know that we need Jesus Christ. That's the first point. Number two is what He does. He's with us in extraordinary days. He's with us in ordinary days. And now we're looking at the extent of this care for us. And look at verse 6. It says there, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a word that comes up again and again and again in Scripture. Forever. Eternity. Everlasting life. World without end. It's hard for us to comprehend forever. I don't know when you clean out your refrigerator. You look at it, right? You're like, whoa. I saw one this morning. It was 8, 10, 22 or something like that. It's trash, right? Expiration dates. We know expiration dates. Clothes wear out. Maybe today you go, oh, this one kind of, oh, puka, you know, I'm going to throw this away. Last time I'm going to wear it today. Our clothes wear out. Our bodies get old. People die. But God's Word talks about eternal life, forever, world without end. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, and let's get a glimpse of we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be, people of God, no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. That's a glimpse of forever. That's a glimpse of they shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the symbolism is clear for us to see. Here's clear water. It's the water of life. And here's a tree for our nourishment. And here's the nations healed. No more sickness, no more sorrow. This is the eternal perspective that the believer lives with. We know, everybody knows, believer or not, we know that there is more to life than the here and now. We know it. It's why we came today. It's why we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith in Jesus, following the Good Shepherd. We're eager to participate in the Lord's Supper. We can't wait to dine with Him. When we observe the Lord's Supper, we realize, church, that we're not doing so indefinitely. We only do it until He comes. Think again to First Advent and Second Advent, right? First Advent, Jesus came born in a manger. Second Advent, He's coming in the clouds. And then we will enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is the Christian's hope and joy. Jesus is coming. And that's where Psalm 23 takes us. It takes us through the ordinary days of life, the extraordinary days of life, all the days of our life, and on into eternity. And it tells us the Lord is our shepherd, and He is our shepherd from the moment we are His to eternity. Jesus is coming again. And we're to proclaim that until He does come again. So there's a warning. Beware if you don't have Christ as your shepherd. Because if you don't have Christ as your shepherd, Psalm 23 really doesn't apply to you. And you are not fit to die, because after death is judgment. You know what can provide? Who can provide that atonement that you need? Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. Come to the great shepherd of the sheep. Come to the one shepherd who laid His life down for His sheep. Look to Him and be saved. And for those of us who have looked to Him, the Lord is my shepherd. Our hope is secure. And we long to see the great shepherd of the sheep, the Savior of the world. That is our future hope. Forever. Eternal life. World without end. And the Lord's table is to remind us of what has been done in the past, how He is with us in the present, and how we look on to the future. So with these thoughts that we are sheep, we know our sin and misery, we are in God's fold, He takes care of us day in and day out, now and forever. And for that we are thankful. With these thoughts now, we come to the Lord's table. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Your word is a treasure. Without it, we get stuck in the storms of life. But You lead us on in peace. Goodness and mercy pursue us. And we thank You, Lord, that You have pursued us even to this very day. For those in need of repentance, Lord, we pray that You would grant them repentance. And all of us, Lord, as we come to the table, may we do so trusting solely in the blood of Christ shed for the remission of our sins. Continue to teach us, God our Father. Continue to lead us, Shepherd of souls. In Jesus' name, amen.